We'll actually be in Acts, the 26th chapter, to begin our time together, Acts 26. Just have a couple of things I would like to share with you this morning. Typically, when we talk about the scheme of redemption, what God expects of man to be saved, we emphasize faith and baptism. There's a reason for that. And the primary reason is because of the false teaching that is done on the subject. We do not want to diminish in any way the importance of faith or of baptism as we discuss these things, but we know that so much emphasis is placed upon them because there are those who advocate salvation by faith alone and take issue with the idea that one must be baptized in water for the remission of sins in order to be restored to God. But we talk a lot about it, and then when we talk about things like confession and repentance, we don't spend as much time because those things are generally not in dispute. But we do need to emphasize equally the importance of those aspects of our change in standing so that we are restored with God. I want to spend just a few moments talking about the importance of repentance in the lesson this morning. I would like to note the conversation that Paul had with Festus and Agrippa as he gave a defense of himself in Acts chapter 26, and it begins with verse 24. Remember, because of his words, Festus said to him, much learning is driving you mad, verse 24 of the text. But his answer was, I'm not mad, and he turned to Agrippa, and he says in verse 27, King Agrippa, do you believe these prophets? Believe the prophets? I know you do believe. Agrippa said, almost you persuade me to become a Christian. So he's giving a defense of himself. And in the beginning of his defense, I want you to notice back in verse 20, the statement that is going to be interesting to us. We're told that he was not disobedient to the vision, Paul indicating after his conversion to Christ, the vision that he received, the instructions that he received from God to go and to be a Gentile or an ambassador to the Gentiles, to go to be an ambassador to the Gentiles and to preach to them. He said, I wasn't disobedient to the vision, but in verse 20, declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the regions of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works suitable to repentance. It's interesting that in this particular account, when he talks about the need of those who are outside the body of Christ, there is not an emphasis placed upon faith or a baptism. It is upon repentance. I want you to notice what repentance is described as being in that text. To repent, turn to God, and do works suitable for repentance. Turn to God. When we talk about repentance as being a turning, we emphasize that it is a turning away from things that were done before and turning to a righteous life. That's what repentance is, a change of heart that brings with it a change in life or a change in action. But the passage refers here to the fact that we are turning to God. So when we talk about sin, which is the problem that's under consideration here, what is sin? Sin is turning away from God. Repentance is turning to God. I want you to keep that in mind. And I want you to note a text from Isaiah chapter 59. Got my wrong glasses, by the way. That's why I can't see. I'm taking them on and off. Isaiah chapter 59, and I want you to notice the first three verses of that text. Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 3, where the prophet says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about sin. Sin is turning away from God. Who is responsible for that? It's not God that turns away from you, but you that turn away from God. Now, this division in the relationship that is attained between God and man, please don't misunderstand me when I say that it is you turning away from God. It's not that God would accept you if you would accept him. No. Sin separates us from God because sin is something that is not palatable to God. But don't think that it's God's fault. In other words, because you engage in some sinful conduct, that God is in some way being capricious and turning his back on you. No, when you engage in sinful conduct, it is you who is turning your back upon God. You are the one that is responsible. And that is why repentance is necessary. If an individual turns away from God, there must be a point in time where he turns back to God. And as he turns back to God and receives the forgiveness on the part of God, God's always willing to have you turn back to him. That repentance is what brings you back in a proper standing with him. It's a very simple idea. Now I want you to notice in verse 3, he says, we'll begin in verse 2, but go down through verse 3. Your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has murdered perversity. Especially in the first part of verse 3. Understand that sin is egregious in God's eyes. I think sometimes when we talk about the concept of sin, we do not understand exactly how God views sin. When you see the word filth or defilement, that idea is something that is truly the way God looks at the sins we commit. We tend to minimize our sins. We tend to rationalize our sins. God does not. It is a heinous thing for us to sin against God. Now, so much that we have said just now would certainly have a reference to those who are not Christians, the need to repent and turn to God. But understand that it is possible for us as Christians to sin as well. And I want to go for just a moment to Acts chapter 8 and notice an example of that in Acts chapter 8 with regard to Simon the sorcerer. You remember that Simon desired to give money to the apostles that he might receive power from the Holy Spirit to lay hands on others that they may receive gifts. And that was something that was sinful. And the apostle Peter admonished him because of this sinfulness. Notice in verse 20 of the text, Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. The call is to repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I perceive that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." I want you to notice the similarity to verse 23 of our text, having reference to the sin that is committed by a child of God, poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. In the language of the prophet in verse 3, your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. That's the way God looks at sin. And that is why all sin must be repented of, because sin is a turning from God. Repentance is a turning back to God. We need to recognize the importance of doing that, whether we be an individual who is not a child of God, who must first repent of those alien sins committed and be baptized to have his sins washed away, or for a child of God who has turned away from God by committing iniquity and defiling himself, his need to return back to God and pray God for forgiveness that his sins might be forgiven him. Sin is not a minor thing. No sin is a minor thing. All sin must be repented of in order for us to be acceptable to God. That's indicated both in Acts chapter 8, Isaiah 59, and any other passage of Scripture which talks about the importance of repentance. So let us emphasize equally, when we talk about what a man must do to be saved, the concept of repentance. Paul, again, in Acts chapter 26, made that the primary emphasis of his narrative, that people should repent and turn to God. So we offer an invitation at this time if there is anyone who is here who needs to repent and turn to God. If you're not a child of God, it is also required that you confess Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized to have your sins washed away. If you are a child of God, it is required that you pray to God. And as a result of the relationship you sustain as a child of God, there is that opportunity with Christ as your mediator to receive forgiveness from him. In fact, that is something that is promised to us. He is just to forgive us of our iniquities. We must turn to him. If you would desire to do that today, or if there is anything else that we can do to help you, we offer ourselves to you. We ask that you come while together we stand and while we sing.